This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Happy Festivus to you. We shall begin the airing of grievances in mere moments. Great to have you with us. I am your host, Todd Starnes, as we broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. A lot happening today, and we're also on the lookout for any sorts of breaking news that might be out there. But I want to start with a bit of Yuletide cheer, if you will, involving Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is the governor of the great state of Arkansas. And I've been a big fan of Sarah's for many, many years. You know, we met back, I guess, I think she was still in college. Maybe, I think she was still in college. And her dad, Mike Huckabee, is a very dear friend of mine. And we were on the campaign trail up in New Hampshire. And I remember it being bitterly cold. And I had, Fox News sent me up there. I was one of the political reporters at the time. And they flew me up to, I remember, you have to fly into Boston, and there was so much snow, the Manchester airport couldn't get to Manchester, so I had to rent a car and then drive from Boston to New Hampshire, which is a beautiful state, a little off-putting to see all the moose crossing signs, Dylan. You know, here we have, you know, deer and, well, the possums, it's a free-for-all, but up there, you've got moose. And you don't want to be messing around with the moose. Those things are like big as tanks.
They want to step on you.
The Ford F-150 moose, they're the worst. So anyway, I'm up in New Hampshire. We're on the campaign trail. It was primary day. It was the Republican primary. And Mitt Romney? It had to be Mitt Romney and his crew was there. Nobody was paying attention to him, right? Because we were freezing cold. You're not allowed to go inside the polling station, so you're outside. So here comes and John McCain's people were there. Here comes Mike Huckabee and his crew. They got out of their vans, and all of us in the press corps, where our teeth are chattering. It's that cold. Snow everywhere. Snow coming down. And all of a sudden, we saw big things of steam coming out of the vehicle. And Huckabee and everybody on his crew, they had big boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts and jugs, giant jugs of hot coffee and cocoa. And I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not proud of this, I don't even know what Huckabee said. He got great media coverage. That day, even NPR, I'm telling you, they knew how to work a crowd. It really is that simple. A Krispy Kreme donut and a hot cup of cocoa, yeah, you're going to get good press coverage. It's really that simple. So anyway, got a chance to meet Sarah. She was one of the ones that was filling everybody's cocoa mugs, and just a great person. You know, she did a terrific job when Donald Trump named her press secretary. And I'm just going to say this. I still believe that she is one of the greatest White House press secretaries that we've had. She was a ferocious warrior for the conservative cause. And by the way, the media was just so ugly to her. You know, they went after her appearance, her looks, her weight, what she wore. And it was so bad. I mean, you can't imagine just being pummeled every single day for the way you look. And that will wear on a person. I don't care who you are. It just, you know, you're human. And, you know, not everybody's built like Trump, you know. And so one day Trump, you know, actually pulled her aside and really just gave her great positive affirmation and encouragement. And she wrote about that in a book, and it really told me a lot about Donald Trump's character as well. But if you remember, Sarah Sanders and her family were targeted. She and her husband were out for dinner with friends in, I believe it was Alexandria, Virginia, at a restaurant. And the owner of the restaurant came over and said, "You're not welcome to eat here," and made them leave. Can you imagine? I mean, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. And honestly, you know, Sarah is a gracious woman. We would have had a biker brawl on the way out. I would have grabbed like some salt shakers, the silverware. I would have taken some souvenirs with me on the way out. But that's just me. That's how I built. But Sarah, you know, she didn't want to bring any embarrassment upon the administration. But she is a fighter, and she never backed down. She always went toe to toe with the press, and I really, really, truly appreciated that about Sarah. So anyway, she's also a Christian woman, and she's been doing a terrific job as governor of Arkansas. And it turns out that she has run afoul of the atheist group known as the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're based in Wisconsin, and these people are an anti-Christian hate group. And they use the courts to wage lawfare against average conservative folk, and especially the Christian community. So anyway, Sarah Sanders the other day posted a proclamation declaring the reason why government offices would be closed over the Christmas holiday. So they're closed Christmas Day and the day after Christmas. And she said it's because this is the time of year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, the atheist went bonkers. And they said, "You can't say that. You can't mention Jesus. How dare you?" So anyway, these godless heathen atheists, they sent this nasty letter to Sarah Sanders and demanded that she remove the name of Jesus from her proclamation. They wanted her to actually rescind the proclamation celebrating the reason for the season. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. It doesn't matter that Christmas is the reason for that Jesus is the reason. That does not matter. Christmas is a federal holiday. It is a federally recognized holiday. It is the law of the land. And the atheists know this. The Freedom From Religion Foundation firing off a nasty letter. "State offices are not churches, and gubernatorial proclamations are not sermons. The governor is free to practice her religion privately, but she may not use the authority of the state to promote Christian doctrine as official government speech." You can smell them from here, can't you? Can you smell that? Just go outside. Take a whiff. You catch that little foul odor? Yeah, that's coming from Wisconsin, and it has nothing to do with the lactose intolerant people. It's the atheist. They smell. We just have hygiene problems. So anyway, they're demanding that she... Jeez. That may have been over the line. So they're demanding that she take Jesus out of her official Christmas proclamation. What's wrong with these people? We're atheists. So anyway, they're going on about how she is basically forcing people to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, which she is not doing. So look, any other person here, they would like surrender. But Sarah Sanders said, nope, we're not doing that. As a matter of fact, she fired back a letter to the atheist and in a very polite way told them where they could stick their complaint. They could just stuff it in their Christmas stocking. And she's not going to do it. And I am so excited because what I see in Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I see a fighter, and I see Donald Trump. When I see Sarah Sanders and the way she's governing, the way she's leading, she's standing up to the atheist, the godless heathen atheist, I see Donald Trump. That's what I see. Somebody who is actually taking a stand and who is not afraid not afraid to say what needs to be said. And I think that's a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to say thank you, Governor Sanders. I know that she has people listening to the program. We've got a lot of listeners in Arkansas. But the days of the atheists bullying Christians in Arkansas, those days are over. And I hope they're over in every other red state in America. I truly do. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. We have a great show lined up for you, a lot of great content, a lot of great stories to share with you. We're going to be taking your calls as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand-new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/starns and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year.
Buenos nachos, amigos. Si tú es illegal alien in America and you decide to self-deporto, el señor Trump y el Uncle Sam will give you $3,000 Americanos. That is mucho dinero, amigos. It's like trillions of pesos. You will be el millonario like señor Trump. You can buy half of Mexico and have all the tacos and margaritas you want. So this Christmas, remember to El Self Deporto, reunite with your familia, and make El America great again. Muchas gracias, amigos. Y Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad, Mr. President. You know, this is interesting. What is it he said? El Deporto? I didn't realize that was the Spanish word for deportation.
Todd, this reminds me of when my grandfather would go to, like, any Mexican restaurant, and he would try to, like, talk. It's speaking Spanish.
Your uncle, yes, my uncle Jerry, your grandpa, he used to try to speak Spanish, and and it sounded just like this,
just like that.
Buenos nachos, tacos.
Oh man,
El Deporto. Yeah, I have we confirmed that was actually President Trump?
I don't think we've confirmed that or not.
Can we get on that? You never know with, you know, AI. We want to make sure that we're being, you know, real with the audience. So you don't want somebody to pull a fast one on us, right? You don't want to do that. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, President Trump making a huge announcement yesterday, these battleships, and they're calling them Trump-class battleships. They are. I loved the president's press conference yesterday. It was pretty brilliant. But what I loved about the whole thing was he said these things are going to be massive and they will be aesthetically pleasing. So they'll be good to look at. So you're right before they blow you to smithereens, you know, the Venezuelans were like, wow, that's a very lovely look at the curves and the architecture of the, and then kablooey. So President Trump, he's in a good mood. He was in a good mood yesterday. Okay. By the way, over on our Facebook Live, they just released the official White House portrait of the Christmas portrait of President Trump and the First Lady. May I just say, isn't it nice to know that we have a classy president and first lady in the White House? Is this not, I mean, the building itself, the decorations are elegant. You don't have any, like, drag queens running around. You don't have any half-naked transgender people running around with all their private parts hanging out. Isn't it nice? And you know that our first lady is a lady. Isn't that nice? I love that. So head over to our Facebook page if you want to check that out. And no, I'm not saying, I'm just saying she's a lady. She's classy, Dylan. That's all I'm trying to say. In the meantime, we have a poll going over on our private fan group, the Todd Stearns Radio Show group. And this really was sort of, this poll was birthed out of what happened over the weekend at AmFest at the Attorney Point USA crowd. And we've got many, many of you, almost 4,000 so far have voted. And I have a question for you. We're going to run, we're going to conduct on this program today, we're going to conduct our very first Todd Stearns presidential straw poll. So we're going to give you an opportunity through the course of our program to tell us who you like for 2028. Now, Turning Point USA announced yesterday they're all in for J.D. Vance, that he's going to be their guy. They're going to be out there campaigning, and they're going to be exerting all of their power, their vast power, to getting J.D. Vance elected in 2028. So my question to you is, who do you like? Who would you like to support in 2028 for the presidential election? So I had to narrow this down, but there may be a name that you don't hear that you think we should include. And here are the names. Do you support J.D. Vance? Do you like Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State? Do you like Glenn Youngkin, Brian Kemp, Ron DeSantis, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Don Trump Jr., or not ready to make a decision? Now, I will tell you, based on our polling results, J.D. Vance is the clear-cut leader right now. J.D. Vance has 79% of the vote. Marco Rubio coming in at second with 10%, which is sort of reflective of the Turning Point USA straw poll they did. But again, we haven't really polled our listening audience, and we'd love for you to call in and let us know, who do you like? You know, if you're already starting to think about 2028, who do you think the guy ought to be or the gal ought to be? Brian Kemp, by the way, getting 1%, Ron DeSantis 4%, and not ready to make a decision coming in at 6%. Don Trump Jr., Glenn Youngkin, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting nothing, 0%, no votes in our Todd Stern Show straw poll. So we'll be taking your calls on this through the show. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I wanted to play this audio from Nicki Minaj, who is the latest darling of the conservative movement. And first, I'm glad when people convert. I'm glad when liberals have seen the light and they realize and they get to see the left for who they truly are. There is a darkness, and much like it's almost like scales are over their eyes. And then once they have been exposed to the conservative message, well, the scales fall off, and those who were blind can now see, and they can see that the conservative way of life is the American way of life. So Nicki Minaj made her big debut at AmFest, and people, they gave her a huge welcome. And when we come back from the break, we're going to play some audio from Nicki Minaj because she had a lot to say. And look, she's a young conservative, and I think we need to give her some space to figure out what she believes. And I know that there are probably going to be missteps along the way, but I'm really encouraged by the fact that we've got another Hollywood celebrity that is now going to be a gun-toting, Bible-clinging American patriot. And I think that's wonderful. All right, we're going to take a break. We are going to go to the phones. We want to know, we're just conducting a straw poll today. Who do you like for 2028 as we already start, they're already starting to put together plans for the presidential election? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to remind you, head over to toddstearns.com, folks. And if you haven't done so, go check out our free newsletter. We have a great podcast, free resources for you. And we have, get this, over 250,000 people now subscribe to that newsletter. Wow, that's pretty tremendous. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. And welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to our phone lines. Houston, Texas. Don is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 today. Hi, Don. What's on your mind?
I want to cast a vote for Glenn Youngkin.
Glenn Youngkin. All right. So this is good to know. I like Glenn Youngkin. I thought he did a terrific job in Virginia. But I'm curious, why do you like Youngkin?
I just don't trust J.D. Vance. I wouldn't let him be dog catcher.
What is it about J.D.? So you don't trust J.D. Why is that?
I don't trust anybody with a beard.
Wait, what?
No, I just don't like J.D. Vance.
All right, well, let's...
I'm a Glenn Youngkin fan.
What if Glenn Youngkin grows some facial hair?
I'll go shave it off for him.
All right. So, no, in all seriousness, though, so with J.D. Vance, is there something specific you just don't like? Are you a little suspicious of the guy?
I just don't like all the promotion around him.
It does.
I don't go for all the promotion. Marketing. There's something phony about him.
It does seem like they are going through this, I don't know, coronation process, you know, 3 years too early, in my estimation.
Yeah.
It's just
a gut feeling I've got about him. I like Glenn Youngkin.
Glenn is a winner. He put together a great campaign, and he was able to win in what was then a very, you know, blue state. And turned it around. And I like the guy. Is he, you know, and the problem's going to be, Don, and I appreciate the call. The problem that the Republicans, we're going to have is you're not going to be able to have a repeat of Donald Trump, right? The enthusiasm, the chaos, the brilliant chaos. Yeah, you're not going to be able to repeat that. That's over. That was a special moment, and it is still a special moment in time. So whoever is going to be next is going to be very different, and it's going to be a bit of a shock, I think, to the Republican psyche, knowing that the next person is not going to be Donald Trump. Now, with J.D. Vance, here's what I'd like to see out of J.D. Vance over the next couple of years. I want to see him grow into becoming a leader. I want to hear more about his platform. I mean, he said all the right things at AmFest, all the right things. He delivered a terrific speech. It really was. And if nothing for me, and I know there were so many different things he talked about, but for me, this was the most important. Cut number three.
But I want to say something here. The only thing that has truly served as an anchor of the United States of America is that we have been, and by the grace of God, we always will be, a Christian nation. Now, I want to be explicit because, of course, the fake news media will twist everything that I say. I'm not saying... Do you feel about them the same way I do? I'm not saying you have to be a Christian to be an American. I'm saying something simpler and truer. Christianity is America's creed. The shared moral language from the Revolution to the Civil War and beyond. Across that history, Our country's major debates have always centered on how we could best as a people please God. That creed, think about it. That creed motivated our understanding of natural law and rights, our sense of duty to one's neighbor, the conviction that the strong must protect the weak, and the belief in individual conscience. Even our famously American idea of religious liberty is a Christian concept.
If you are going to be an effective president, you have to understand this one thing, that America was founded as a Christian nation. And if you do not understand that idea, you can't get anything right, because that's the foundation. That's the foundation from which freedom and liberty spring and grows from, is this idea that we are and our founding fathers meant for us to be a Christian nation. That's what it's all about here, folks. That's what it's all about. You know, this TPUSA poll, they did a big straw poll that Vance won, but there were some other questions here. And they asked these young people, and we're talking about 30,000 respondents to this survey, okay? 30,000. Now, I found this to be interesting. First of all, they discovered that Islam is the most important issue facing voters, radical Islam. The other component of this is that a majority of the people at Turning Point USA believe that Israel is our top ally. Now, according to the reporting here, and this is from the Jerusalem Post, 33.3% described Israel as a top ally. 53.4% viewed Israel as one ally of many. 13% did not view Israel as an ally. So what does that tell us? And all of this information coming from Andrew Colvett. So what does this tell us? Well, it tells us that those young people are not listening to Tucker Carlson or Candace Owens or Nick Fuentes. That by and large, and it's so easy to fall into this trap, you have to understand that social media is not real life. That a lot of these young people, especially Gen Zers, I think a lot of folks take them for granted and they do not give them the respect that they deserve. Because Gen Z, these are kids that are thinkers. These are kids that just don't go along to get along. We're not talking about lemmings here. So they're listening to Tucker. They listen to what Candace and Megyn Kelly and all the others have to say, but they're making up their own minds. They're doing their own research. They're doing their own homework, which is what we encourage you to do. That is a foundational issue for us as a radio show. Do your homework. Listen to what I have to say, but go and explore, investigate, do your homework. And that's what they did. And they came away thinking, you know what? Israel is our ally. And the reality is that radical Islam is indeed the number one threat to our nation. Now, I want to ask you, as an audience, and we've got a vast audience all over this nation, so I'm just curious, what do you see as the greatest threat, the main threat facing America today? What do you think that threat is? You know, I put this out on one of our social media pages a few days ago, and it was not even close. It was radical Islam. Because people are seeing what's happening in various parts of the country. When the Muslims take the majority, they take control, and they immediately start to marginalize everybody else. And we've seen this across Michigan and Minnesota, and we're seeing it in other communities now, where Islam is becoming the majority religion. Again, what Charlie Kirk said is true. Islam is not compatible with Western civilization. So we're going to take your calls on that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Fascinating polling results. And I am not terribly surprised at all. I will say this. Israel as an ally, I think that sends a message to all of those within the Republican Party, because Megyn Kelly yesterday said something that I found fascinating. Megyn Kelly said that moving forward, young Republicans are not going to be supportive of Israel. I find that hard to believe. I truly do. But we'll take your calls on this. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This story just coming in from Fox. The White House says they will not be easing up immigration enforcement during Christmas. So the Catholic bishops of Florida made an appeal yesterday asking the administration to stop immigration enforcement for the Christmas holidays. The Archbishop of Miami, Thomas Winsky, said the border's been secure. The initial work of identifying and removing dangerous criminals has been accomplished to a great degree. Over 500,000 people have been deported this year. Nearly 2 million more have voluntarily self-deported. At this point, I'm reading from the letter they wrote to Trump. At this point, the maximum enforcement approach of treating irregular immigrants en masse means that now many of these arrest operations inevitably sweep up numbers of people who are not criminals, but just here to what is wrong with you people? The bishop goes on to say, Archbishop, it should be noted, a significant majority of those detained in Alligator Alcatraz have no criminal background. Yes, they do. Let's review this and let's try to simplify it for the bishops. Illegal means el criminalito. I think that's the Spanish word for it. I'm just telling you.
There
is a part of you as a Christian, and you're like, well, you know, maybe we should just put a pause. We can't do that. We are on a ticking clock right now. Every single second that goes by is a second that we're not going to get back. Every single illegal has to go. It really is that simple. And I was talking to somebody about this last night. I was at a Christmas party in Germany. Had a great party, by the way. I'm not a big party guy, but I went to this party. And I'm talking to somebody, and we were talking about deporting everybody. Why everybody has to go, even the guy or gal that's been here 25, 30 years, and they're hardworking, and they've got a family, they're just not legal. Here's the problem with that. How have they been getting paid? How have they been paying their taxes? How did they buy their house? So in a lot of these cases, they've been breaking multiple laws. So it's not just a simple thing about coming across the border illegally, which is bad enough, but you're breaking the law on top of that. So everybody's got to go. I'm not saying you can't come back, but you got to go and then come back the right way. Let's go to Vera in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Vera. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Vera.
And Merry Christmas, so I don't forget.
Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm thinking about the poll that was taken at Turning Point. And I do not think that Vance would be out of the running, but if Marco, and I saw the news where Rubio said he would not run against Vance, but if he did, I would vote for Rubio, and I am a Trumpster all the way. And I would like to say this for us to think about. If Vance would be the leader, he would do well to pick Rubio for his vice. Because anybody knows, if you don't know about foreign affairs, we are gone. We are lost. Look at what Trump has done with foreign affairs. And Rubio has been right under his wing. We've got to have Rubio in there at a heightened position as vice if Vance runs. The other issue that I wanted to mention was about Islam. Until we can cure the ignorance And that's not an ugly word. That means ignore. That means you just ignore. You have an ignorance. Until we can do away with the ignorance of the American people, we will never destroy Islam in our country. It was ignorance of the people up north who let those people in. It was ignorance of the people on the street. Jesse Waters does it all the time. He asks questions about the, you know, the news. People don't know anything that they need to know. We have got to get our people over ignorance. Now, I don't know how we're going to do it, but you can destroy Islam all over the place, and the ignorant American will let them in. So that is, these are just heavy on my heart.
Vera,
I pray every day.
I love what you're saying here, and that is so true. And again, this goes back to the education system. And I want to, you know, one of the components we don't talk much about is this dumbing down, the intentional dumbing down of our kids, because it's easy to control stupid people. And by stupid, I should say ignorant, Vera. It's easier to control ignorant people, people who may not understand the laws, may not understand their rights under the laws. And they're also being force-fed this false narrative about what Islam is really all about. Vera, there are actually textbooks. There are textbooks that they're using in our schools. And they're telling the kids that the Muslims never invaded any nations. They were welcomed in. They were asked to come in and take over the country, the nations. I mean, this is radical propaganda, which is why I think a lot of young people just don't have a clue about how dangerous Islam is.
I think you've nailed it too. And I think you know it, and I've heard you speak on it before, but we've got to make an issue of it.
Yeah.
We've got to make it an issue, not just something we talk about, but it has to become an issue like a girls and boys bathroom. And I mean, we've got to really step out there on this thing. I don't know how we're going to do it, but God knows I would play a leading role in this area of Georgia if somebody would set up a program or give me an idea of what to do and how to do it.
Vera,
I'm telling you, Todd, it's huge, and we'll never make it any other way. It has to become important.
Vera, they're yelling at me. I got to take a break here, but I love where you're coming from. We're gonna find something. Find a way that you can help out. Vera, thank you for calling in. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to our friends over on our YouTube live stream. And we're broadcasting the show on YouTube. You can watch us. I hang out with you guys in the live chat in the breaks. Want to say hello to our friends at WQVZ Mission Radio in East Alabama. Great to have all of you folks out there in East Alabama listening to the program. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you, they're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Hey, real quick here, folks, and we're going to get to your calls after the break here, but our good buddy Mike Lindell now running for governor of Minnesota, and MyPillow, it's been a pretty hard year for him, but it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong, and to show their appreciation, Mike is offering our audience very special Christmas savings. Right now, get this, you're going to be able to get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98. My slippers, you're going to get a free bottle of leather protectant spray for just $39.98 and a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow, just $14.98. Give them a call, 800-839-8506, or visit MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS, and you're going to unlock these great Christmas deals. Thank you, Mike Lindell. Merry Christmas.
Buying local keeps the season meaningful. Every bottle of NC wine, every tasting flight, every gift card, it all supports North Carolina farmers and small businesses. Think about it. You're giving a gift and you're giving back to your community at the same time, which is what the season is all about. Plus, most producers ship straight to your door, making it easy to share NC flavor anywhere. Find producers near you and explore award-winning NC wine at ncwine.org. NC wine has a taste for everyone.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Merry Christmas to you, wherever you might be across America. I'm Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope. I was having a fun conversation in the break. We have, we've sort of relaunched our YouTube channel. We've been working with YouTube to try to figure out a way that we could grow our channel. And we had been suppressed in the, for so many years as a result of our content, but they seem to be more open now. So we're willing to give it a shot and wanted to really consolidate our audience. It was sort of, our audience was sort of, I don't know, balkanized, I guess. And so we want to, and it's going to take a while to migrate everybody over to the YouTube channel, but it's an opportunity for you to hang out. And in the break, I love conversing back and forth. Dylan, we've got a listener, and he literally works up in the tower at a jail and in Georgia, and he listens to the show.
Wow.
So while keeping an eye on the prisoners, I guess. I think that's awesome.
You can multitask there. Yeah, okay.
Remember the guy who called in? We had a guy, was it, a couple of months back, and he listens to us on his cell block, and he's actually a prisoner.
Yeah, he called in. He's like, well, he called in, and then the automated message started playing, like, do you want to accept this call from this jail cell? And we're like, should we? And then we also automatically said yes.
Absolutely. And the poor guy only gets a certain number of phone calls, and he wanted to use that phone call for us.
He was very nice.
I was very honored.
Yes.
Very honored. So anyway, it was just a great conversation, and we had a good time. We had a good time. So all that, who knows, that guy may be guarding the guy that's listening to the show in his cell block right now. All that to say, we got a lot of listeners. And we love all of our listeners. We especially want those that are out of jail. And no, we love everybody. I'm just kidding. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind today?
Hi, good afternoon, sir. There's always something on my mind.
Well, what do you want to talk about real quick?
What I'd like to share, it'd take me just a quick second. You know, there's different ways of looking at things, what you was talking about a bit earlier. There's greed, thievery, wickedry, and self-righteousness, whatever, in this world. But I want to break it down to a little simple story, and maybe this will help some people understand what's going on. This is just a story. It's not truth. But I'm in my house. It's a cold winter day, and I'm in my house. It's nice and warm. Me and the wife and the daughter, we're in the house. It's nice and warm. We got plenty of food and supplies. I notice out there on the road, out here rural, there's a guy shivering in the cold and limping. And I think, you know, I'm kind. I'm appreciative. I always look for the good in people. I want to help this guy out. So I invite him in my house. And we get him fed, get him warmed up, get him washed up. Wife does his clothes and stuff in the laundry and take an ace bandage, get him all healthy and all that, and take good care of him. And then he kills me, rapes and kills my wife, and sells my daughter and seizes my property. What I didn't realize was that he was an evil, wicked person that had been casing my house and planned on taking it over anyways, just trying to figure out how. And I invited him in just to help him out because I was kind. And that's what we got going on in this country, inviting all these people in and letting them come in. Maybe that's a way to break it down simple and think about it. I don't know.
I mean, we're letting a lot of really bad people into our house. Of course, our house being the country of the United States of America. No, I get it. I'm with you.
All righty. I hope that helps somebody.
Danny, I think it did, and we appreciate you calling into the show today. Thank you for that. Look, I mean, it's a crazy situation wherefore I would say going back to Obama, we've had, you know, tens of millions of people crossing the border. I mean, there have been some numbers that we could have as many as 30 million people living here illegally. And when you look at those numbers, it's such a massive number. You don't think about the economic impact that is going to have and has had on this country. By the way, just prepare because the Trump economy is booming. And it's booming before the big, beautiful bill even takes effect in January. We're talking about the U.S. economy. Are you ready for this? Growing 4.3%. That is the fastest it has grown in 2 years. And people are dumbfounded by this. They can't figure it out. Trump tried to tell everybody this is what was going to happen. And I told you, and if this economy is roaring, we're running and gunning, Republicans win the midterms and possibly a landslide. Even though they're a do-nothing Congress, it's all about the economy. And if we're seeing these results this early, folks, you better get ready. It is going to be a fun, wild ride into the midterm elections. It's going to be great. Let's go to Oregon. Kathy, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Could I make a suggestion for a guest on your show?
Well, I guess you certainly may, yes.
Okay, his name is William J. Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R. And he has written a number of books, but the one that I just recently ordered was What Every American Needs to Know About Islam. And I was reading the reviews on Amazon, and there were people on there that they love this book, and they think it should be required reading for high school. But he's done lots of books, not just Islam. He's done things on the American Revolution and stuff like that. Anyway, if you look him up and you know, figure out what he's about, maybe you'd like to have him on your show because I think he could explain a lot.
Well, you know what, Kathy? We'll take a long, hard look at that. And you know, if we can figure it out and work out the schedules, we'll try to make that happen. I know him quite well. And, you know, I've certainly read his book. So, yeah, we'll take a look at that.
It might be informational to that caller that was in the last hour. What was her name? I can't remember.
We have a lot, really, but yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Vera from Georgia.
Yeah, she's real concerned. And I think we just need to get educated.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy,
wouldn't it be awesome if President Trump fixed our immigration system so everybody would shut up about it?
I think that it would be the most glorious thing. And here's the thing. Every single illegal that is deported, the economy gets that much better. I mean, that's the bottom line here, Kathy.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, Kathy. Thank you for calling in.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, President Trump, speaking of President Trump, he says, you got to watch Newsmax. Everybody's watching Newsmax these days. They're watching it on cable. They're going on the streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading the free Newsmax app on the smartphones. Reuters, by the way, says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. That's right, in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Well, some sad news here to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, and a bit of encouragement for all of us as well. Many of you remember Senator Ben Sasse, who went on to be, was it University of Florida, I believe, president, and then then he left and been going through some things, and he just wrote a Nebraska senator. He drove an Uber. Did you know that, Dylan? He drove an Uber, this guy.
I did not know.
Mm-hmm. He was sort of a cool, one of that class of senators when he got elected. It was just sort of a weird, funky bunch. So anyway, Senator Sasse is writing a pretty lengthy note. I'm not going to read it all, but there are a lot of people going through a lot of things, and I think this might encourage you. The senator announced that he is dying, and he's going through some difficult days. And I want to share this with you. You say, Todd, where is the encouragement in that? What are you talking about? Just be patient. Just be patient. He said, this is a tough note to write, but since a bunch of you have started to suspect something, I'll cut to the chase. Last week, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4, and I'm going to die. Advanced pancreatic is nasty stuff. It's a death sentence, but already had a death sentence before last week, too. We all do. I'm blessed with amazing siblings and a half dozen buddies that are genuinely brothers. As one of them put it, sure, you're on the clock, but we're all on the clock. Death is a wicked thief, and the bastard pursues all of us. Still, I've got less time than I'd prefer. This is hard for someone wired to work and build, but harder still as a husband and a dad. I can't begin to describe how great my people are. During the past year, as we temporarily stepped back from public life and built new family rhythms, Melissa and I have grown even closer, and that on top of 3 decades of the best friend a man could ever have. 7 months ago, Corey was commissioned into the Air Force, and she's off at instrument and multi-engine rounds of flight school. Last week, Alex kicked butt, graduating from college a semester early, even while teaching Jen Kim organic and physics. She's a freak. This summer, 14-year-old Breck started learning to drive. Okay, we've been driving off book for 6 years, but we've got the paper to make it street legal. Wow, I know a lot of us did that. I couldn't be more grateful to constantly get to bear hug this motley crew of sinners and saints. There's not a good time to tell your peeps you're now marching to the beat of a faster drummer, but the season of Advent isn't the worst. As a Christian, the weeks running up to Christmas are a time to orient our hearts toward the hope of what's to come. Not an abstract hope and fanciful human goodness, not hope in vague Hallmark sappy spirituality. Not a bootstrapped hope in our strength. What foolishness is the evaporating muscle I once prided myself in. Nope, often we lazily say hope, and what we mean is really optimism. To be clear, optimism is great, it's absolutely necessary, but it's insufficient. It's not the kind of thing that holds up when you tell your daughters you're not going to walk them down the aisle. Not nor telling your mom and pops that they're going to bury their son. A well-lived life demands more reality, stiffer stuff. That's why during Advent, even while still walking in darkness, we shout our hope, often properly, with a gravelly voice, soldiering through tears. Such is the calling of the pilgrim. Those who know ourselves to need a physician should dang well look forward to enduring beauty and eventual fulfillment. That is, we hope in a real deliverer, a rescuing God born at a real time, in a real place, but the eternal city with foundations and without cancer is not yet. Remembering Isaiah's prophecies of what's to come doesn't dull the pain of current sufferings, but it does put it in eternity's perspective. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise. I'll have more to say. I'm not going down without a fight. One subpart of God's grace is found in the jaw-dropping advances science has made in the past few years. Death and dying aren't the same. The process of dying is still something to be lived. Wow, that is, wow. We're zealously embracing a lot of gallows humor in our house, and I pledge to do my part to run through the irreverent tape. But for now, as our family faces the realities of treatments, but more importantly, as we celebrate Christmas, we wish you peace. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned, for to us a son is given. And he signs it with great gratitude and with gravelly but hopeful voices, Ben and the Sasses. Oh, sobering thought, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? We go through so much in life, and when you step back and you, and I don't know, I found myself doing this every now and again, but you really examine what you're doing with your life, the work you do, the contributions you're making to society, your family, and you wonder, have I done the right things? Have I made a difference? What does it all mean? I get calls all the time from people, what does it mean that you have hope? You know, I remember, gosh, more than 20 years ago when I had to stare death in the face, and I remember being at this piece. I know exactly what Ben Sasse is talking about here. And I am going to pray for him and his family. And I hope you will do that as well. But I've experienced that peace. I know what he's talking about. And you come to terms and you help. Something like this makes you prioritize things very, very quickly. Very quickly. And you understand what is really important. You know, we talk a lot about politics, a lot about life on this show. We talk about a lot of different stuff on this program. One of the things that I always want to leave you with is hope. No matter how bad things are, there is hope. There is joy. And for Ben Sasse and all of us, and it's true, we're all on this journey together, every single person living. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter if you have a crown on your head. It doesn't matter if you are living in a trailer park. It doesn't matter if you speak English or French or whatever they speak in Australia. It doesn't matter. All of us will breathe our last breath one day. In a way, we are literally born dying. I mean, that's it. The clock starts ticking, and we will all meet our maker. And the question we have to answer between now and that day, whenever that day is, and no man knows that hour, that's what the Bible tells us, we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared like Ben Sasse is prepared? And we know Ben Sasse is prepared because he has that hope. That's what he's clinging to over these next little while. Pray for Ben Sasse and his family. Would you do that? Just make a commitment. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Merry Christmas to you, everybody. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Republican strategist Josh Jones. Josh, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. The last time we talked to you, you were heading down to Texas. How did things go down there?
It was a great success. Went really well. It was a good trip, and also it was good to get down south and be a little bit somewhere that was a little bit warmer for a couple of days. Right before Christmas, so that was nice.
Dylan was wondering if you wore a cowboy hat, if you were riding a horse, lassoing cattle, anything of that nature.
No, I didn't do anything of that nature. I did ride a mechanical bull, though. So if you can count that, that's probably the closest thing you're going to get to it.
Hey, that's pretty cool. So literally a mechanical bull.
Yeah, we were flying in and out of Austin, Texas. So on the last day, me and a couple of coworkers and some of the people from the client's team did dinner, and they're like, hey, there's this place down the street that has a mechanical bull. So we all went down there and took turns riding the mechanical bull.
Wow. Back in the day, that used to be like the thing to do. What was Mickey Gillies, I believe, was the establishment. And everybody went down there to ride the bull, as they say.
Yeah, no. I mean, and there's like two or three days afterwards, I would like wake up every morning, I was like getting ready. It's like, why are my legs sore? I genuinely not knowing why they were sore. I was like, it's because of that bull.
You rode a bull, man. You rode a bull. If you haven't, you got to watch Urban Cowboy. It's a great movie, and it's all based on that honky tonk down in Pasadena, Texas, featuring the mechanical. Did your bull have a name, by the way?
I don't know if it did or not. The place is called Wild Greg, so maybe it's named Greg.
Greg the Bull. The one in Pasadena is called El Toro. So that does strike fear into the hearts.
Yeah.
So look, I'm just curious here. TPUSA coming out right out of the gate and announcing that their organization is going to be backing J.D. Vance. They're going to be doing whatever is necessary to get this guy elected. Was that a smart move to just go ahead and throw in with somebody?
I mean, it really comes down to, the leadership teams of these different organizations, because, Turning Point obviously backing J.D. Vance, there's a close connection between the two camps there. But, I mean, number one, we're a political eternity out from the 2028 primary. So a lot can change between now and then. So I think it's a bit risky to put your eggs all in one basket right off the bat. But, hey, maybe it'll pay off. And secondary to that, though, a lot of the time organizations, and this has nothing against Turning Point, but just anybody in kind of that nonprofit super PAC realm. I mean, we saw this in 2024 of a lot of these nonprofits and super PACs doing this about the same point in the cycle for the 2024 primary for Ron DeSantis, where they were sending people to Iowa 2 years ahead of time, laying the groundwork, and we saw how that worked out. So not to say that it can't have an influence on things, but really it's going to boil down to what's happening in 2028, and we're just too far out to tell.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. I mean, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I would like to see, when you look at experience, I would say someone like Marco Rubio has far more experience than J.D. Vance does, even though Vance, I think, delivered some great speeches. He's been a great vice president, but the reality is Marco Rubio, I think, has much greater skill set. So if you're looking at those two, Rubio would probably be my pick on top of the ticket, at least right now, if we were having to make that decision.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you because, look, the job of the president is very multifaceted. And to your point, J.D. Vance has done a good job as vice president. He's a good senator, but also you have to have a well-rounded burst of experience. And you also have to have really strong connections on the Hill other parts of the government, which Rubio does. And maybe Vance does, and he's cultivating those as vice president, but all things to take into consideration as, you know, we, all that to say, though, we have a deep bench on the Republican side of the aisle. We have a lot of good candidates, not to say that one's necessarily better than the other one, but we have a lot of good candidates, so we're, you know, in a strong position heading into 2028.
Well, I think so. I mean, when you look at, you know, for example, Ron DeSantis, I'm still not understanding, Josh, why there is such an aversion within MAGA world to Ron DeSantis, aside from the fact that he challenged Trump. I don't necessarily remember. I think it was a stupid move, but I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I don't see that as being disqualifying, but why is it they don't like the guy?
I mean, look, simply put, it boils down to the fact he ran against Trump in 2024, and that could have kind of put a bad taste in their mouth. But I'll also go back to remind people, J.D. Vance did not like Donald Trump in 2016. It was publicly speaking against him. Marco Rubio ran against Donald Trump in 2016 in the presidential primary. I mean, that's where the small hands comment came from. To those folks who hold something against Ron DeSantis for running in the primary in 2024, I'd say, well, then you can't like Rubio and you can't like Vance either. So it's a double standard unless you have another reason.
Well, I'll take it a step further. At least DeSantis did not write an op-ed condemning Trump in the New York Times or, you know, go on NPR and condemn Trump in some of the most vilest language, which is what J.D. Vance did. And again, I get it. People change. I will point people to the Vanity Fair article, though, of Susie Wiles article, where she believes that J.D. Vance's conversion to the MAGA way of life is entirely political. I think that's a telling statement.
Yeah, I mean, listen, trust it from the mouth of the babes to a certain extent, right? I mean, she's the chief of staff. She was the head of the campaign. So she's definitely going to have more insights than your typical, you know, political operative or strategist or anybody else for that matter, just because of her proximity to things. And like to your point you just raised, people can change and like, you know, move politically, personally, you know, what have you. But to disqualify, you know, somebody because they disagree with you once politically is, you know, kind of childish in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I mean, early days, I was a never Trump guy, only from the sense that I was supporting, believe it or not, Rick Perry. He was my guy day one. Can you believe that? He was a good guy, though, but he was a lousy candidate.
Yeah. I mean, 2016 seems like a long time ago at this point, but yeah. Personally, I mean, granted, I was on the younger side of things then, but I was a Rubio guy to start with, so. Look, Rubio's back, so everything's fine.
Yeah, I was Rick Perry, then Huckabee, and then Ted Cruz, and then, you know, jumped on the Trump bandwagon and, you know, didn't leave it there. I'm sorry I sounded somewhat distracted. I literally just got a text message from Speaker Mike Johnson. And apparently somebody sent him a tweet I had written about him. I will not talk about that on air, but... Not yet, but wow. The speaker is a little displeased. I'll just leave it at that, Josh Jones.
Yeah, I'll leave that one with you.
Yeah, geez, Lou. All right, so are you back home yet from, are you back in Virginia for the holidays?
Not quite yet. With kind of how the holiday structure is, today's my last day in the office, and then I'll be heading out tomorrow back home. So I'm going to have to leave early to make it back down in time. But, yeah,
all right.
Work, duty calls.
Well, I understand. Okay, Josh Jones, safe travels and Merry Christmas, Josh.
Thanks, Todd. Merry Christmas.
All right. Josh Jones, good man right there. Yeah. So here's the deal. The speaker has an open invitation to come on this program whenever he wants, so that we can talk about what's happening in the House right now. And we have extended that over and over again. His staff, and I've heard this from so many people, he'll text me, we'll have these conversations, and yet when it comes to actually coming on and talking to you, and you are the people that he needs to be talking to, you need to be hearing from the Speaker of the House. And yet his staff, they will not allow him to do that. And I think that is a great disservice to the speaker. But at the end of the day, if you've got people telling you, Mr. Speaker, your comms team, they're not serving you like they ought to. And if you don't do anything about that, well, that is right back on you. So anyway, I'll have to read through in the commercial break what the speaker is saying. We'll see. We'll see what he has. I hope I don't get audited. 901, I'm just joking. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Like everybody, Speaker Mike Johnson is a good man, and I think we've established that over the course of however many conversations we've had about all of this. But the issue is getting the president's agenda over the finish line so that we can win the midterms. And I'm telling you, if the economy, the economy's blasting off right now, that's what's going on. The left, they're freaking out. PMS now, they're going bonkers. Nobody knows how to respond to this. So they're going to be trying to grab and claw anything they can to try and bring down this president. They thought it was going to be the economy. And you watch what's going to happen. Who was I talking to yesterday? Paul Shanklin. And we're going to re-air our conversation with Shanklin. We got so much great feedback from that. Shanklin said the reason why grocery prices have yet to come down is because diesel fuel has not come down yet. And until that happens, you're still going to have high prices at the grocery store. And that's the reason why. So again, you've got to do your homework. You can't just take things at face value, right? You've got to make sure you're doing your research. Okay, why is it the grocery prices are so high? And once you get to the answer to that question, you're like, okay, great. So this is not President Trump's fault, but Trump is working towards getting our grocery prices lower. And I believe they're forming a commission. That was the last I heard out of the White House. So all of these things are coming together, and we've just got to make sure that there's nothing that takes us off the message. We've got to keep our eye on the ball. I know I'm mixing metaphors here. Just bear with me here for a moment. But that's what's going on. Oh, I want to play this audio. This is Nicki Minaj, new conservative, cut number 10.
We were not being represented and not being admired for our beauty. If we felt like that as black women, why would we want to do that to other women? Amen. Why would we now need to make other people downplay their beauty so that we can feel, no, that's not how it works. I don't need someone with blonde hair and blue eyes to downplay their beauty because I know my beauty. Do you understand? It doesn't bother me that a woman feels and says that she's beautiful. Amen. Why shouldn't she feel that? Why have we gotten to a point where certain colors or certain kinds of people have to be afraid of loving themselves and loving the way they look? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is wild. And, you know, again, you're going to have the hardcore people that are out there, and that's how they make their money, by dividing us and all of that. I get that. But when you, I think the average person, and I use Memphis as an example. We're a national radio show, but I talk about what I know, and I know Memphis. And when the president sent the National Guard in, everybody thought, oh, there are going to be marches in the streets. People are going to burn down buildings. You know, none of that happened. None of it happened. I mean, maybe a couple of dozen people, most of them old folks, old white folks, standing on street corners hollering about, no kings, what time supper? Maybe that. But the average black person, the average minority in Memphis, they're just happy they can go to sleep at night without hearing gunfire in their neighborhoods. You know, the average black homeowners, they're just glad nobody's trying to, you know, do a home invasion robbery. The average black family, they're just happy that their kids are able to walk to school without getting shot at. These are commonalities we all have. And again, they want us to think that it's us versus them, and it's really not. That's why I am so vehemently opposed to Common Core and critical race theory, is because it's pitting the races against each other. And they know, I mean, the socialists are not stupid. They know that the live wire in this country is race. And if they can somehow cause division within the races, they're going to have a fighting chance to take over this country. That's what, and that's really what that's all about. And we can't let that happen. By the way, and we'll talk more about this after the holidays, but this H-1B visa situation, it is out of control. And the idea that American companies are getting rid of American workers and replacing them with cheap foreign labor, that is unacceptable. It is happening, and of all places, the allegations are that FedEx, and there's a lot of reporting out there about FedEx using these H-1B visas to bring in workers from India and fire American workers. People are really upset about this. And I appreciate what J.D. Vance had to say in his speech over the weekend, Cut 19.
A true Christian politics, it cannot just be about the protection of the unborn or the promotion of the family, as important as those things absolutely are. It must be at the heart of our full understanding of government. Why do we penalize corporations that ship American jobs overseas? Because we believe in the inherent dignity of human work and every person who works a good job in this country. Why have we worked, without the help of Congress, to restrict H-1B visas, for example? Because we believe it is wrong for companies to bypass American labor just to go for cheaper options in the third world.
And he's right. And again, the H-1B visa. Well, here goes Starch again. He's just a xenophobe. He's just a xenophobe. We know he doesn't like curry. I actually like curry. And I like tandoori chicken as well. Thank you very much. And that lovely bread, I don't know what they call it, but it like puffs up. It's very tasty. And you can slop up the tandoori. No, that's the curry sauce. Anyway, a marsala. No, that's Italian. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I have nothing against Indian people. I got nothing against anybody. But what I'm saying is, yeah, there are going to be moments where we have to hire somebody and bring them in. And they're the best and the brightest. They're the only people in the world who can do something like that, which is why we let the guy from Slumdog Millionaire in. It's a good movie director, I think. I don't know. I'm in so much trouble. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Let's just say the most brilliant scientist in the world lives in India, and we need to bring him to America to do something. They get, that person gets an H-1B visa. I know, just bear with me here. But if you're a marketing analyst at FedEx, you're telling me we've got nobody in this country, nobody on TikTok, nobody on Instagram who can't do that job right here in America. You're telling me we can't find anybody to do that job. I'm not buying that. And again, it may be a situation where, you know, the new head of FedEx is Indian, and maybe he just wants to be surrounded by people that that are like-minded. Maybe that's it. But that's not how we do things in America, and that's not how we should do things in America. And I'm picking on FedEx because I'm telling you, it is a massive problem. We see it. We see the change happening in our own communities right now in real time. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.